Part 2 of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball titled The Righteous Branch.
Well, we know that the Old Testament was a type and a shadow. And it's a schoolmaster to point us to. And you're going to find out that everything that's in the Old Testament points us to Jesus Christ and one of his attributes and one of the things he's doing for us. Do you see what I'm driving at? And these are symbols. So I answered and spake to the angel, talking to me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, "Knowest thou not what these be?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, "This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Don't you ever think that you're going to get this job done by your own knowledge, your own wisdom, your own might, your own power, your own strength. It'll never work. Quit praying, "Lord, help me." I'll say that again. When I first heard that preached back in Akron, Ohio, it made me mad. And then I began to see what it was about. Oh, I used to have all these plans, and after I made them, I'd go and say, "Lord, bless my plans. Lord, help me." You see what I'm driving at? Come on, let's find out who's to help who. Cart before the horse idea, you see. All right, now. "Who art thou, O great mountain?" You remember that mountain? "Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, crying, Grace, grace unto it." The grace is under the what? Headstone of the mountain. Well, who's the headstone of the mountain? Who is the stone the builders rejected? Jesus Christ. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the day of small things, they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those..." Oh. "With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth." So now we see Zerubbabel with a plummet. Now, if you see a man with a plumb line, what's that mean? If you see somebody with a plumb line, what's... Yeah, I saw a surveyor the other day with his... That meant there was going to be some action. He's going to build something, isn't that right? Yeah. And so, what's about the first thing when the builders... You go out to the field, and what's the first thing you see? A what? A survey, a transit, a plumb line. And they come out there to set the stakes. Isn't that right? So, when you see Zerubbabel with a plumb line setting the stakes, you're going to rejoice. But Zerubbabel also comes not only with a plumb line, but with those, say it, seven, they're the eyes of the Lord. So therefore, Zerubbabel is going to build with the church. Isn't that what he said? He's coming with his plumb line and with the you. And Peter said, we are lively stones in that supernatural tabernacle, that building that God is building. So then, we're the builders. And we're also the material. You follow what I'm driving at? Because that's part of the rejoicing. Then answered I and said unto him, "What are these two olive trees?" upon the right side of the candlestick, and upon the left side thereof. Answered again and said to him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These, you better read it for yourself. You won't believe it. Last verse. Well, that isn't what I want. These are the what? Two. What word did I emphasize? Two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. If I said there was one anointed one, I could get away with it. But if I start teaching about two anointed ones, that's heresy. If I said there was a Jesus Christ, we'd all agree. But we can't talk much about the body of Christ because the word Christ means anointed. Is that right? And there are two anointed ones that stand before the whole earth. The word Jesus means Savior. The word Christ means anointed. That means His name literally in English is the anointed Savior. Say it again. Jesus means Savior. And Christ means anointed. So His name is Savior Anointed, but that's Dutchy, so we'd say the anointed Savior. Literally, if I was going to call Jesus Christ in English, that's an anglicized form of Greek when I say Jesus Christ. But now if I'm going to say His name in English, I'd call Him the anointed Savior. But it's now Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we know that Jesus Christ did everything that His Father ever told Him to do, so He went back to sit at the right hand of the Father till every enemy be made His footstool. And so Jesus said, I'm not doing anything anymore. It is finished. I give you power to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, do all these wonderful works in my name. Isn't that what He said? And so I got the idea a few years ago that Jesus was coming back to take the kingdom from the bad guys and give it to the good guys. Because a lot of songs I sang taught me that. But then I began to study the Bible and found out that's not what Jesus' plan is. It says when Jesus comes, it will not be to bring the kingdom. When He comes, He will receive the kingdom. Come on, Bible students, give me a nod. He didn't say He was going to ever bring it. He says He was going to receive it. And they took their crowns from their head and laid them at His feet. Well, the guys that got the kingdom right now are not going to gladly take their crowns from their head and lay them at His feet. That means there has to be some other guys get the crown. So Daniel said, I beheld until the saints prevailed and took the kingdom. You see what I'm driving at? But we can't do it by might, nor by power, but it has to be by my Spirit, say the Lord of hosts, because none of us are smart enough, none of us have enough power to do it, because the worldly people are a lot smarter than we. Would you admit it? But in the end time, He's going to send not the earnest of our inheritance, but the fullness of our inheritance. And the earnest of our inheritance is a down payment, isn't that right? Earnest, money, down payment. So though we do have the Holy Spirit as a down payment, you ain't seen nothing yet. Because we're going to have the flow of that oil. And as soon as this candlestick has ripened itself and is all the way, then the heavenly plumber is going to reconnect those golden union joints that Theodosius broke. And even though he's been lining them up right now, and if you'll get your branches up, you can feel a tingle or a trickle. Even though we've had the trickle, in just a little while, he's going to open the floodgates. And there's going to be brilliant light on the church candlesticks. Do you see what I'm driving at? Which are the seven spirits, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, say the Lord of hosts, and these power is going to be giving off this light, and it's going to draw all men to Jesus Christ. Because that's what does it. Light, love, and liberty. So, now you're seeing a little bit more of this double parallel idea, right? Of what's going on in these end times. Now let me get one more scripture here. I think I'll be finished soon. Chapter 6 of Zechariah. Verse 11, then take silver and gold and take crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Now Joshua is Jesus. Is that right? Joshua, literally Jesus, Savior. Didn't you know that? The word Jesus in Greek is Yahshua. Okay. And speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, who's he talking to now? Joshua. That's Jesus. And saying to Jesus, behold, the man whose name is the branch. Now, we thought that the word branch referred to Jesus, but Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the... And the Lord of hosts is saying to Joshua, behold the man. Who's the man whose name is the branch? Where is he? Where's the man whose name is the branch? Well, he's here tonight. Yeah, it's all caps. Because the man whose name is the branch shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. He'll build the temple of the Lord and bear the glory. Well, what do you put the glory over? The lampstand. But see, this doesn't take anything away from Jesus, because Jesus is the Lamb, and the Lamb has got the lampstand and the lights for his eyes. Do you see what I'm driving at? Does light and eye make a parallel? The eyes of the Lamb are the lamps, and they give off the glory. So then, this doesn't take anything away from Jesus, because it's Christ in you. So when we get the glory, Jesus has it anyway, because he's in us. Because we're together in this thing. I'm going to prove that in a minute. And he shall bear the glory and sit and rule upon his throne. And Jesus said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I've overcome, and I'm sitting in my Father's throne. Now there you are. Now these guys have got the throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the Bible says, and ye shall be kings and priests, joint heirs with Christ, rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And the council of peace shall be between them. What's the next word? Both. What was the word you emphasized when you read Zechariah 4:11? Two. Both. So we got Joshua, Savior, and a council of peace between the Savior and the branch, the man whose name is the branch. And they're going to both rule and reign. For there are two anointed ones that stand before the Lord of the whole earth. One called Jesus anointed, the other called body of anointed. Jesus Christ, body of Christ, Jesus anointed, body of anointed. Same synonymous things. And if you don't believe it, margin note, 4:11 says, and their names are called the sons of oil. And who are the sons of oil? Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. But somebody says, well, I don't like that, because it says Jesus Christ and the body of Christ are to fall over dead in 3.5 periods of time. Would you admit with me? Now, this may be offensive to some, but Jesus Christ and the body of Christ were dead in the Dark Ages. Maybe there was just a little bit of fire on one of the wicks, but for all practical purposes. Is that okay? For practical purposes, the church did more harm than good. Is anybody offended at that? And they gave gifts one to another and were so thrilled because they'd been tormented all that time. And we were dead.
Hmm?
I consider the Dark Ages from 380 to 1045, the Magna Carta. You can have your own.
Yeah.
See, but 1045 starting with the Magna Carta, then that brings into Gutenberg, that brings into you see, and so that we have the Renaissance with Michelangelo in 1200s. So we have this period from, we'll say 1040, call it 1100 to, 1400 was, 1500 with Luther. So we'll call it maybe the Renaissance. But Renaissance doesn't mean that you got brilliant light. It only means that you're coming out of darkness. And this may be a little bit upsetting to you, but I don't believe we're out of darkness yet. I believe we're still in the fifth seal called the Renaissance, the Restoration. And the sixth seal should open at 9:45. Now hold on. Now let's make a study of the righteousness, the concept that we were going to bring forth here. Wait a minute. One other thing, just one little thing here before I get into the righteousness. Isaiah 4:2. Would you turn to it, please? Isaiah 4:2. Now we got this branch, and the man, his name is the branch. We know what he's going to do. We see who he is. We understand that's us. Now give me Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. Have you noticed how many times they're capitalized in this whole section? Yahweh, Sitka, what was that? Sidkenu. And that was capitalized, the Lord of Righteousness, the branch is capitalized. Did you notice so many scriptures I've given you are capitalized words? Now, give it to me in Isaiah 4:2.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel.
I'd like for you to turn around, and I'd like to introduce the beautiful and glorious branch. Turn around, look at it. There it is. See how beautiful it is? Look at those people. Turn around, look at it. Back row, smile, or do something beautiful, Jack. Okay. Beautiful and glorious. Here it is, the branch. In those days shall the branch be beautiful and glorious.
Now this branch is in small letters. The other one was in caps. The other one was Jesus, or...
I believe all branches are us. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And I don't know why they chose to capitalize one another, because some of the branches were caps and some were small. And I don't understand that. But even when it came to a small branch, small caps as far as branch, the Lord our righteousness was capitalized. Is that correct? And the Lord our righteousness, I don't understand how they chose, and I don't believe I've ever read how they chose to capitalize those things. And maybe I'm overemphasizing a point. But whoever was translating this thought that this was a pretty great group of something. You know, had a tremendous import. If you want to get at.
Somewhere along the line, some Bible teacher told me to put an arrow to that word branch and put the word Jesus in the margin.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. But we're saying that it's not necessarily Jesus.
Well, all Judah wasn't saved, see? I know that Bible teachers told us that, and I said that my Bible's got it, but I can't find it. It just doesn't fit. It won't fit. It tells us there in Zechariah, go to Jesus and introduce the branch to Jesus. Those Joshua, same word. See? And Jesus gets the crown. You make the crown and put it on him, but introduce him to the branch, because the Council of Peace is going to be between them both. Back here to 4:2 for a minute, please. Read that again. Wait a minute. What day?
Glorious.
In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. What day? Well, maybe it's the day that's right in front of that verse. Why don't you read about what's going to happen right in front of that?
The
Now you know where it is.
And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach.
You know, it's getting thick. Now you can cut the air with a knife.
It's very evident today that the women outnumber the men.
Yes, it is very evident. Not only that, do you know what happened just a while ago?
Yeah.
It wasn't four generations ago the women didn't know how to read, and they either barefoot or pregnant. Now we taught them how to read. We gave them shoes and a pill, and now look what's happened.
They own
the country already. We gave them the right to vote, and now look what happened to the country. See? Now, most ladies, you know, they don't like that, but I want you to understand, girls, a few generations ago, that's the reason that there were what we call the double standard and all that, you see, because a few generations ago, the girls didn't know anything. Talk about ignorant, talk about quiet, talk about keep your mouth shut at church, ask your husband when you get home, you know, and all those kind of things. But things are different now. We've taught them to read. But in those days, what days? Well, when seven women will grab a hold of this one man and say, we'll buy our own food, we'll buy our own clothes. Just take away our reproach by giving us your name.
It's going to take seven of them to do it, though.
Hmm?
It's going to take seven of them to do it.
Yeah.
Seven churches.
Well, it could be the churches. Well, is it going to be literal, symbolic, or spiritual now? Well, the atmosphere is not nearly so heavy as it was a minute ago.
Maybe all three.
Maybe all three. But doesn't it say in verse 2, why is the branch glorious and beautiful? Give me the end of the verse.
And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent comely for them that are escaped of Israel.
Oh, for them that are what?
Escaped.
Because at that time there's going to be a terrible calamity. An awful catastrophe. And the Bible talks about 200 million soldiers and 66 million killed, one-third killed. Mm-hmm. And that's just before the blowing of the seventh trump, Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, or the parallel in chapter 16. So we find just before the seventh vial, seventh trump, we find the Battle of Armageddon, and we find 66 million killed. Well, if you got 66 million men killed, that would wipe out, well, 200 million. Take the United States of America, 200 million people, right? Now, if we would wipe out one-third, 66 million, and they all have to be men, soldiers, and they have to be at what we'll call childbearing age or marrying age. Is that okay? Do you see what happens? You see what happens to a whole population of people? Why, it's just very few men left. And all girls, and very few boys. Let's go back to the concept of seven women to one man. We'll never get away with that. But you see, the branch is going to execute righteous judgment. But if we're going to execute judgment according to the law, commandments, traditions, then we say no. I'm speaking in the natural realm. Maybe it's a symbolic interpretation or spiritual, because it could be spiritually the church holding on to Jesus, but I'm going to go to the natural for just a minute. I'm trying to shake you with something. You see, a lot of our morals and ethical principles come from the law, and when we come to righteous judgment, we're going to be able to meet a situation not on the stoning them, but on the mercy. And am I making sense to you? To see, the branch will be able to grant that much mercy But the mother of the branch could never do that. Can you see it? The structure couldn't bend that much. For the branch, the man-child comes forth from the structure. But structure means rigid. And rigid means it'll crack and it'll break. I don't know about you, but we've had visiting missionaries come to our home and stay with us who have told us about the rigid structure in dealing with the Africans. Here's the chieftain just gave his heart to Jesus and he's got seven wives. How many have heard those problems, or at least discussed? What do you do? Well, we know what to do. Bring him our morals and our ethics. Yeah. And that means that six girls have to go out in the street and go without food, without clothes. Because it's very difficult for us to understand that there are groups of people that are nonetheless just as much Christians as we are, who have a whole different way of life, concept, and morals and ethics have nothing to do with your relationship with God. They have a lot to do with your relationship with men. So we take men's rules and think we're taking God's rules. Can you follow this? And now, I'm not making this up. The Bible says it's going to happen. But the branch is going to be able, can I say, to float with the stream? Come on, stick. Float with the stream. Let me try it another way. I was over at the Eric Theater. I couldn't have said that a few years ago when I was an evangelical, but and I saw a movie, and it was about this Fiddler on the Roof. And when I listen, I got more out of that movie than I've got from lots of sermons. And there was one line when that old, you know, the guy that danced and he, that one line, it just screamed at me from the loudspeakers when he said it. If I bend any more, I'll break. And the music changed, and the whole story changed from that point forward. For as long as the old man bent, he had to bend, but there was happiness. There was dancing, there was singing, there was joy, and life went on. But when the old man said, if I bend any more, I'll break, I cannot adapt to this new situation. It's too much. Too much of a cultural shock. My moral and ethical principles. And of course, he thought godly. Can you understand that? Because he could not differentiate between those principles and godly. Touch not, taste not, handle not, which shall all perish with the using. Come on. How many know I'm not making this up? This is scriptural. And he couldn't grasp it. And the story changed. The Russians came in and, you know, that was the end of the whole thing because he couldn't bend anymore. Now, I'll tell you, it seems to me that God is a good knot tier. And God has got me tied in lots of knots. But I am praying that I will be pliable and soft. The other parable is some wineskins get too hard, so you don't bother to pour any more wine when they get too hard. But as long as you're soft and pliable, God can keep socking it to you. So my prayer is, Lord, sock it to me and rub in the lanolin. Is that all right? Sock it to me, Lord. But come on. Give me the oil. Give me the lanolin so that I'll be pliable and be able to accept the changes that are necessary. Now, I've tried to shock you. I did a little shock thing here on purpose on that 4:1 because I want you to see that the branch is not ready.
Please stop your machine and turn cassette over.